You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
So if you've been coming to Connect Communities past 3 weeks or in this new year, you know we're in a series entitled Rebirth. This series, so it started out last year with JD was praying over the church and what was coming and what was the word for the year. I think it's been 3 or 4 years now that we've asked the Lord for a word that would kind of summarize our year, that would be that would speak faith into our year, that would almost kind of give us a picture, a little glimpse of what God is going to be doing that year, right? Because who knows? God knows tomorrow, right? He knows tomorrow and we don't. And so we've asked them, and this year, out of the idea of best, out of the idea of being our best and becoming what God has designed us to become, the word is rebirth, a rebirth in the sense of our minds, of our capacities, of our abilities, of what's going on in our lives, a rebirth to challenge our misconceptions, right? Sometimes we keep going in circles and we're doing the same thing over and over and we expect different results. That is insanity. Right? If you want something different, you need to do something different. And so we've asked God, and God said, rebirth, you need to challenge the things that you are doing. Challenge the way you're going about your life. Challenge those things that are not working. Break it down. Think about it, actually. Don't just survive or barely get by, but actually think about what you're doing. Is it beneficial? Is it wise? Ask the questions, right? So that then there could be a rebirth, a change of mind, a change of heart, and you can see actually a different 2020, right? A different decade. We have an opportunity in our hands. We have a different decade, and we can lead it differently if we do things differently. So in light of that, we take our five values. Who knows? We can shout our five values. Fun. Fun is one of our values. Anybody know another one? Compassion is another value. Generosity. Relationships. And personal responsibility. So our five values of Connect Community. If you're new to our church, we want to tell you that's our five values. That's what we do everything, the lens of which we do everything. Right? First week, JD talked about personal responsibility, and we have a responsibility in this walk. It doesn't happen to us. Like Jesus didn't happen. He did the work on the cross for us. However, we walk out this journey. So there is a sense of personal responsibility, a part that you play in this walk. Then last week, he talked about fun. And he said, you know, it's easy to have fun, and it's easy to be happy when things are going well. But what do you do when they're not? Right? What do you do when things are hard? And so he talked about that. Let me encourage you to go back and listen to that message if you're having a season or if you're having a life that has not been the easiest, right? You can go back to that message and kind of visit it and go, okay, how do I find fun? How do I find joy when things are not going as planned? Today, I'm going to talk to you about compassion. I want to discuss compassion. Now, when you think about the word compassion, when you think compassion, what do you think of? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Probably most of you think about some social justice issue, right? Like ending world hunger, or you think about homelessness, or you think about domestic abuse, or you think about human trafficking, or you think about pet adoption, or you think about, you know, you think about a social justice kind of thing, because compassion leads us to think, okay, how do you help at a large scope? Some of you who probably have been in church for a long time immediately think about the story of the Good Samaritan, right? You think compassion, you think about this guy who saw a stranger on the floor and took care of him and put him in an inn. That's compassion at work, right? Some of you might think of that. Well, Webster defines compassion as this: sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. The together part matters. Now, I forgot to mention to you, if you're taking notes, we have an app. And in our app, there's a fill-ins. So if you want to take notes and go into our app, you could do that. Just wanted to mention that. Okay, so that's what happens with social justice causes. This specific sympathetic consciousness of others' distress and the desire to alleviate it, right? When we talk about justice, social justice causes, that's what we do. For instance, let's take hunger. struggling today with these. Okay, hold on. Give me a minute. I got it. I rolled it up, so I got to fold it the other way so it can stay. This is why he uses iPad. Ha. And I don't. See, he's teaching me something already. So let's talk about the issue of hunger, right? So hunger, world hunger. What happens? Somebody forms an organization because they see that people are going hungry. People are dying even of hunger, and they're going hungry. So somebody goes, you know what? We have an abundance of food. Why are people going hungry? We have abundance of resources. Let's make sure we take care of people. So somebody forms an organization and goes out and supplies the need, alleviates the need, right? That's what they do. Now, nobody will argue that Jesus was a compassionate person, right? I mean, even all other religions, if you look at history alone will show you that Jesus was compassionate. The history books will teach you that he was compassionate. Now, Jesus was compassion at work, right? Jesus is compassion. And we find this in scriptures. Everywhere you go in scriptures, you will read that Jesus was compassionate, that he felt compassion for someone or for a people or for a crowd. All throughout the gospels, you will read this. I'll prove it to you when Mark is one instance. Mark 1, 40 through 42 says, "And the leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity," again, another word for compassion, "he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean." One passage. Another passage, Matthew 20, verse 29. "And Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho. A large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' The crowd rebuked them and told them, 'Be quiet.' But they shouted all the louder, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' Jesus stopped and called them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And he asked, 'Lord,' they answered, 'We want our sight.' Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him." That's another story. I'm going to give you a third one. If you weren't convinced, I'm going to convince you. Jesus had compassion. Soon afterward, Luke 7, soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still." The buyer? Did I say that wrong word? "And the bearer stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man stood up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother." So this is not an isolated issue. I mean, throughout scriptures, you will find Jesus walking around, and the Bible explicitly tells us he had compassion on people. Now, if you hear this often enough, and if you see that Jesus is having compassion, and that they're telling us that he has compassion, it ought to mean something to us. It ought to mean something to us that Jesus was moved with compassion, right? In fact, compassion, okay, caused Jesus to leave heaven and come down to earth and become a man. That is what drove him to come to earth, because he didn't need to. He didn't need to become a man. Right? He came to earth. He gave up his life on the cross for us. Compassion led Jesus to become human. The sole purpose of him coming to earth was us. That was the purpose. It was to save us and to once again connect us and reunite us with our Father in heaven. So the ultimate act of compassion was done by Jesus. The ultimate act, laying down of his life. I mean, we can all agree that the ultimate act of compassion from anyone is to give up your life for someone else, right? So for Jesus, compassion wasn't just a feeling. Compassion led Jesus to take the long way. We can remember the story in scripture if you read, to take the long way to encounter people along the way, right? Compassion would make Jesus take certain routes. Compassion led Jesus to take the hard path, to be misunderstood, to come to earth, to be spat on, to be scoffed at. Right? Compassion led Jesus to do that. And compassion ultimately led Jesus to the cross for us. Now, what does that mean to you today? You're like, okay, well, great. Jesus was a great guy. right? No. What does that mean for us today as we consider ourselves followers of Jesus, as we consider ourselves to have a relationship with God in heaven? What does that mean for you and me today? Well, this is the passage that I want to park on. If you have your Bible, if you have your shiny Bible, you know, open it up in Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 35 through 38, and it says this. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, asking him to send more workers into his fields." Now, I want to point out there's so much in this passage and we're going to nitpick it. Okay, so keep it open, keep it near you, highlight it because you're going to need it. So first thing I want to point out is this, that Jesus went from town to town. Now, this is not 2020 where Jesus is flying first class to the next town to go preach the gospel. Right? He is not staying at the best hotels. He is not getting great meals. And he is not being treated as a king. Right? He's not getting gifts and he's not getting honorariums or he's not being paid for it. Jesus is traveling from town to town by foot. He is walking. He is being crowded. He is tired and often hungry. The Bible tells us that. He's often tired and hungry and he keeps on going. He keeps on going for the sake, why? Because Jesus was moved by compassion. In the core of who Jesus was, compassion moved him to do everything he did. So as he's going about and he's seeing people, the scriptures will often tell us he had compassion on the crowd. He had compassion on the crowd. And you go, why did he have compassion on the crowd? Well, that passage tells us because they were confused and helpless and they looked like sheep without a shepherd, right? And so what is Jesus saying here? Like, think about what does he mean by they looked confused and helpless as sheep without a shepherd? Look around you. Think about in your life. Look around. How many people that you can point out in your life that they just look confused and lost and without purpose and with depression and sad and like they can't seem to get off that cloud, that weight? Right? Look around. Jesus is seeing the same thing in his time. The people are sad. They're confused. They're feeling lost. They look like they have no guidance. They don't know what to do. And Jesus had compassion on them. Now, I want to point out that you and I, when Jesus says here that they had, the workers are few, right? So the Lord, pray to the Lord, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. The harvest is great and the workers are few. I want you to think about that. Who are the workers today? Who is Jesus saying that are the workers? We are. We are the workers, right? If you and I are the workers, then that means that we too must carry the compassion. If Jesus is saying that we are the workers, then we too must carry compassion. This is why we as a church, value compassion. Because without compassion, we don't do anything. Because without compassion, chances are if you're not compassionate, you're not going to move. Right? Chances are if you don't feel something when you see people suffering, if you don't feel a certain way, you're not going to do anything about it. And that's why we value compassion. Because compassion is the vehicle. Compassion is what causes us to actually do something, to actually move. Compassion for the lost is the reason JD and I are here and we started this church. Because we look around at a world who is confused, at people who are confused, who are searching, who don't know purpose, who don't know Jesus, and we go, you know what? We have to do something about it because we know that if I didn't know Jesus and if I was still lost and if I was still confused, it would be really hard to get out of that, the pressures of this world, right? It'd be really hard to get out of it. Compassion is what drives us here because unless you feel sympathetic compassion for others' distress, remember the definition, sympathetic compassion for others' distress, and a desire to alleviate it, we don't move. So how? How do you become more compassionate? Like, great, it's good to have compassion. Jesus had compassion. I'm a follower of Jesus. I should have compassion. How do I do that? How do I become more compassionate? Well, number one, we pray about it. You know, you hear this often in church. Oh, God, I got to pray about everything. Yes, how do you have a relationship with Jesus without talking to him? You pray about it. You ask him to develop in you the same thing that he had. The same thing that he had that drove him to do what everything that he did. You pray about it. You pray that God would make you into a worker, that he would make you into someone who is moved by compassion, that he would work in you the desire, the will to want to do something about it, right? The reality is that if you don't feel compassion, you won't do it. If you want to look more like Jesus, then you need to ask to be more like Jesus. Now, remember who is in charge of the harvest. Who did Jesus say is in charge of the harvest? God. God is in charge of the harvest. There's another passage in John 6 that says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day." What does that mean? That means that if you have compassion, right, you still need to pray for the person that you're going to work towards, or you still need to pray for the people or the it's all about people at the end, right? The people that you're going to be doing something with or for. So let's say you have a friend and you want to lead them to Jesus, right? And the Bible tells us that it's only God who draws people. Unless God draws people, then no one will come to Jesus, right? Then you need to pray for the people before you present, right? Because it is God who needs to do the work in their heart. It is God who moves people's heart. It is God who does that work inside of us. And our job is to pray for it. We pray for to become a worker, and then we pray for the people that we are going to work with. We pray about everything. So first part is we pray. We pray, we pray, we pray until we can't pray no more. Prayer is the vehicle. Okay, in connection with God, prayer is everything. So we pray. The second thing we do, if we want to become more compassionate, is we ask ourselves, what can I do here? I always found that, you know, I have this like this example. So you're talking to someone, right? And they're like, you know, I really need a jacket. I have a job interview and I need a jacket, but I don't have money to buy a jacket. And I need it because, although, you know, I need to present myself well to go on this job interview. Okay, sister, I'll pray about it. Meanwhile, I have 10 jackets in my closet. Right? I mean, look, if you are the solution to what they're asking, be the solution to what they're asking. Right? Ask yourself, what do I have that I can help here? Instead of going, God, would you send someone to help this person have a jacket? He did. He sent you. You're right there in front of him. Right? The second part is this, right? Ask yourself, what can I actually do here? Am I the answer? Because you know what? Nowadays, Jesus is not roaming the earth, right? He's not walking the earth. We are his representatives, his children, right? So if we are and you encounter someone that has a need, ask yourself, what can I do? What do I have in my hands right now that maybe I could be the person that God has sent to be the solution to their need? Maybe I'm already the one. I don't have to pray about God bringing down or raining it from heaven, because chances are you're not going to see a jacket fall from heaven, right? Food does not fall from heaven. It doesn't fall from, it did back then. It doesn't anymore. Now there's you and I. Now we are the vehicles that God uses to bless people. We find this in 1 Corinthians 3:9. It says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. We are it. We are it. We are the solution." So when we're praying for compassion, God will give us opportunities for the expression of that compassion, right? He will give us opportunities to be compassionate towards other people. Now, let me remind you, compassion is the work of the Holy Spirit in us, right? It's his work in us. We are not naturally kind and compassionate. We're not. We're mostly selfish, right? But compassion is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So when we're praying for people and we're interacting, we're like, God, let me be an example on this earth. God, let me be, you know, use me, use me, use me. Then he wants to use you and you go, nope. I'm going to keep my jackets, Right? No, if he wants, like, if you're calling, if you're asking for compassion, if you're wanting to be more like Jesus, then you will have opportunities to do so. So give, right? Look around and go, what do I have that I can bless someone? What do I have in my hand? He's not going to ask you for what you don't have, right? You're never going to need to go into debt to bless someone else, okay? He will ask you for what you have. Whatever you have in your hand, be willing to give that. Be the solution. If you have the solution, be the solution. God has already answered their prayers. He sent you. Right? Compassion is not passive. I want you to know that. Compassion causes us to what? To want to alleviate the suffering. It's not a passive thing. It's like, I'm so compassionate about the earth, but I'm going to sit here and watch Netflix for 10 hours. Compassion is not passive. It is active. Right? It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, here's the thing that always kind of, nowadays, because we have access to so much on our phone and the internet and social media and all that, right? You will open a social media app and within 5 seconds, you are flooded with needs, right? You have like the crisis on the border and then you have human trafficking in America and then you see Amber Alert and then you see there's a house that was hit, a hurricane hit, and then you see there's like people, veterans are struggling with PTSD and depression, and then my neighbor has just lost, and you're like, oh my God, I don't even know who to help. There's so many needs. Needs, right? Isn't it easy to kind of feel like that? Like there's needs, so many needs. This is why compassion, because compassion is your compass. It tells you what you need to engage in. See, the work of the Spirit in us, we're not compassionate about everything. We're not. I mean, let's be honest. Some of you love pets more than others. Go on this side. Right? Some of you have like saw the bushfires in Australia and you're like, oh my gosh, the pets. What's happening to the animals? Right? Some of you are like, well, the people. Did anybody think about the people? There are people who don't have houses. Right? Some of you thought, the firefighters. Oh my gosh, the people who are working. What are we doing for them? Right? Everybody, there's an area, compassion in us. What? God has placed in us compassion for something, for someone. Not everything. Something, someone. So that this is a dictator for you. It is a signal. It is your compass to tell you, you know what? I'm compassionate about this. Not everything. This is what gets me fired up. This is what makes my heart kind of like, I cannot stand seeing this. Right? Well, that's God speaking to you. That's God saying, look, this is the area that I'm guiding you to work in. This is the area that I'm calling you to go. This is your job in humanity. This is your part in all of this. So when you look through social media and you go, there's somebody, oh my God, shut that off. Pray about it. Go, God, this is what my heart, right, beats for. This is what gets me excited and sad and makes me cry and laugh at the same time, and I can do something about it. This is the area, compassion. Compassion will be your compass, guiding you towards purpose, guiding you towards calling. A lot of people tell me, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm made for. I don't know what. You know what? Channel compassion. If you can channel compassion, if you can figure out what actually makes your heart tick, you will find what your purpose is, right? You will find, because God has placed it there. God has put in you the desire and the will to act in certain areas. And he will grow that compassion as you pray for it and as you engage it, more and more compassion will be available to you. Okay? Then God has given us the ability to actually distinguish what we are called to do and not feel completely debilitated and hopeless, because the world will make us do that. Like when you're scrolling through, it's easy to kind of feel hopeless. Like it's just too much. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. Let them go. I got Jesus, right? It's kind of easy to kind of do that, to kind of be like, it's just too much. But if you focus, if you allow compassion to guide you, you will then engage in the right area and make a difference, like you are called to make a difference. And the last point is this. When you don't have the 10 jackets to give, right? When you are with someone and you've been praying for compassion, and you're like, God, I'm hurting for this person. I'm hurting for them, but I don't have anything I can do. I can't fix their marriage. God, I'm hurting for them. And they are broken and they have depression. I can't fix it. I can't fix their depression. God, they are financially, you know, I don't have anything that I can give. I mean, I have nothing. I have nothing. I can't help. What do I do? Well, you always have one thing you can give. Jesus. You have Jesus. Jesus on the inside of you. And Jesus will make all the difference. Now, you might not have something tangible in your hand, but you carry Jesus. You carry the power and the presence of Jesus in your heart. You carry the one who heals, the one who restores, the one who redeems, the one who sets free, the one who's able to take somebody's life and turn it upside down and change everything. You carry him in you. And with him, all things are possible. With him, amen. With him, whatever your friend is going through, he can make a way. Whatever that person standing in front of you, he can do the impossible for him. So, when you don't have anything to give, do as Peter did, Acts 3:6. He says this, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. Right? Hey, friend, silver and gold I have none. I can't pay your bills. I can't give you a job. I can't change that medical report. I can't fix your relationship. I can't bring peace into your heart. I can't. But let me tell you who can. Let me tell you about a Jesus who did it for me. Let me tell you about a God who's able to redeem and restore any situation. Let me tell you about this God who came from heaven, became a man for you and me. Let me tell you about a God who is able to change the scenario for you. I wonder if we remember that we carry unlimited power within us. I wonder if we remember when people are going through things, I wonder if we remember what we have. You know, sometimes we're just too practical, too analytical, too like what's in front of me. I wonder if we could remember that we carry the presence of God in us and we can offer that to others. You know what? People don't see Jesus as a human, they don't see Jesus like they did then, right? They don't see him walking the streets and able to follow him, but they see you and they see me. And what do they see when they see you and they see me? Do they see Jesus active, right? We might be the only Jesus they see. Are we showing them? Are we showing them this God who is able to do? I wonder sometimes, right, if what we lack is not belief, but compassion to actually offer Jesus. You know, I think we believe that God can make a difference. He did it in our lives. We believe that God is able. We believe, right? I wonder if the missing component is not our compassion for people to be like, we're so driven by compassion that we have to do something and then we call on the power and presence of God, right? I wonder. So this is the year of rebirth, and I want to challenge you this morning to have a rebirth in your compassion, to have a rebirth in that gift of the Spirit in us, to have a rebirth in how we go about our lives as it pertains to compassion, the value of compassion specifically. Would we ask God, can we pick apart how we are living each day and how compassionate we are and what we're doing with that compassion? Can we pick it apart and kind of go, God, this year I want to be more compassionate. I want to be more focused on displaying you to other people. Can we experience a rebirth this year in our compassion? Can we answer Jesus' prayer? Because remember, he told his disciples in Matthew, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more workers. That's us. That's us. And so Jesus said to the disciples, he says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more workers. The harvest is ready. It's plenty. It's ready. I mean, look around. How many people that you encounter on a daily basis that you can say, man, they're lost. Man, they need something. They need something. And it's not in the form of a pill. Right? How many people that we can look around and say, but what if God is saying, hey, I did send them someone. I sent them you. We are the workers. We are the workers. And this year, we want to encourage you. Let's pray. Let's pray a prayer of willingness to be engaged, a willingness to be the worker God has called, a willingness to get active, to get dirty, to get our hands dirty, to just go, right? A willingness. And then let's ask ourselves, okay, am I already the answer? Do I have in my hand what they need? Can I give it? Can I offer what I, because I already have it. I don't need to go pray about having it. I have it. Can I offer that? Can I be the solution? And then lastly, never forget that the main thing people always need is Jesus. Jesus fed, Jesus healed, Jesus touched the untouchables. Jesus transformed people's lives. Jesus set the captives free. Jesus redeemed their past. Jesus broke all the chains. Jesus renewed their spirit. Jesus offered everything that they needed. Jesus was the answer, and he still is the answer today. Jesus is the one that can take a broken person, one who has nothing left to live for, and give them something to live for. Jesus is the answer. Can we be the workers who will take Jesus into this dying world? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are calling us. We won't pass the baton to someone else, God. We won't shy away from our part in this generation. Our part, Father, to be compassionate, to be the solution, to be love, active love on this earth. We won't pass it along, God, but we take responsibility as children, as daughters, as co-workers, as sons, as co-laborers, God. We take on our responsibility. I pray this morning, Father, that you would work in each and every one of us, that you would grow our compassion, that you would grow, Father, our desire and the confidence and the assurance of who you are in us, God. Would you do that this morning, Father? Would you make us a little more like you? Thank you, Jesus, for the ultimate price. You, by compassion, was moved to come to an earth, to become man, to surrender your life, that we wouldn't be lost forever. Thank you for that. So grateful, Jesus, for what you've done for us. And we ask you that we would be able to share and to bring your image, Father, and your bring the good news to all those around us. In your name I pray, Jesus.